Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson. A show on dating and online dating in particular today. Beginning with the end of the show, we'll start there. Candace Waters is going to be addressing a listener who struggles with her mom's opinion of online dating. We then have a culture segment with Les and Leslie Parrott, relationship experts, and they will be talking about some of the things to look for as you are looking at a relationship in general, as well as online. And our roundtable today, which you will hear about in just a moment. Today's show is brought to you by Alcon Entertainment, producers of The Blind Side and their new movie, Dolphin Tale. It's in theaters September 23rd. For more information, go to dolphintalemovie.com. Here we go. For those of you who know the show well, you know that in the past we have done shows on online dating and they have blasted into the stratosphere as far as popularity. Many of you out there have experienced online dating. Some of you have met your spouses online. And in fact, when I threw out a query today on Facebook about this, saying that we were going to do this interview, a lot of you had comments and questions to throw into the pot. So this is going to be a fun conversation. And we have got a great group of people here to talk about this subject. A little departure from what you've heard us talk about before. We actually have in the studio with us Sam Moorcroft and his wife, Polly. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
Very fun to have you here visiting us actually at Focus on the Family here in Colorado Springs. Sam is the founder and president of Christian Cafe. You guys are based out of Canada, but you have a huge following not only in the U.S. but elsewhere throughout the world. So very exciting to see that. You were founded in 1999. And Christian Cafe, just reading here what they have on their site, matching Christian singles since 1999, the only major Christian dating site that is actually Christian owned, with over 1,500 Christian dating success stories. Sam was in management. He was in direct marketing, consulting, project management, and other entrepreneurial endeavors prior to founding Christian Cafe. He has an MBA from the Richard Ivey School of Business up there in Canada and co-founded Christian Cafe with his brother Philip. So kind of a little family biz there that has now grown much bigger than that. So the rest of the folks around the table, Martha doesn't need much of an introduction. Martha Krinke, welcome.
Thanks, Lisa.
She's here to weigh in with her opinions and experiences. Also not really needing an introduction, Mr. Travis Williams, always with an opinion. Welcome, Travis.
What's up?
Great to have you here. My good friend Jenny Grimm is at the table. Jenny, a seasoned online dater who has many experiences and stories to bring to us. Welcome.
Why, thank you for calling me seasoned.
Hey, you and I are seasoned, girl. Good to have you. And Nathan Pyle is at the table as well. Nathan, welcome.
Hello, Lisa. Thanks for having me back.
Woo-hoo. So, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. And just by way of a short introduction, Sam, I would actually love for you to kick off this discussion by sharing with us a brief, you know, just like, a minute, 30 seconds to a minute, if you can do it, 30 seconds to a minute on the history of all online dating. No, not really, but just like that, just an idea of, because I think there are a lot of people out there that they feel like this has been part of the landscape forever and ever. And really, it hasn't. It's relatively new by, you know, standards of, you know, I mean, it's newer than the wheel. So so just give us an idea, because I thought this was fascinating. I was in a meeting this morning with Sam and he was just talking about kind of how this progression came about and the movie that was attached to it. Fascinating. So just give us a little overview of what we're talking about.
Sure. Online dating pretty much started in a bigger way about the mid-90s with the advent of the World Wide Web. There'd been the internet since the late 60s, U.S. military project. They'd actually had computerized dating going back into the 60s, long before the World Wide Web, but probably about maybe 93, 94, 95 era. So when we got in 1999, was actually several years old by that time. But people had started popping up with these ideas where people could fill in accounts of themselves and then they could have these rudimentary matches. And I think a lot of companies discovered that people were actually going on looking for these because people like to connect, particularly for romance. And so you had a number of companies moving into this space. And I think one of the big catalysts for this was the 1998 movie that you referenced with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan called You've Got Mail. And if you recall in that movie, they were connecting through instant messaging through an AOL chat service. And so with the advent of that, we had all the media attention on the dot-com explosion, not just for online dating, but for internet stuff as a whole. You had sites like Amazon, you had Google, you had Yahoo, all this stuff coming up. We had the dot-com bust in the early 2000s, and that put a lot of these companies out of business that didn't really have a business model. Whereas online dating did, it was subscription-driven back in the days when everybody was trying to run services based on ads, based on people coming to their website and clicking through. And I knew going in that that wouldn't work, even though the conventional wisdom at the time was that it would. So our model has always operated on the basis of, we'll give you a free trial of the service. And then after that, if you're seeing value, you basically put down a credit card or check or money order, et cetera, and you buy blocks of time. And pretty much every online dating service, with the exception of a couple ones that are so-called free that are ad-driven, every other site out there is driven by subscription, and it's grown. It's a multi-billion-dollar business worldwide, probably in excess of $1 billion in the U.S. alone.
Wow. All right, and that brings us to today. With many people, I mean, I don't think you can be in a singles group today and not talk about online dating and be with people who have not tried it. I mean, it's just, there are still some people out there who haven't, but generally it's more, the conversation trends more towards, so which sites have you tried? How's your experience? Who are the crazy people you met? What success have you had?
Or girls will say, if you do it, I'll do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like the next girlfriend solidarity move, you know? It's what everyone, what all the girls out there are doing. So I want to throw this question to the table, and that is, just a chance, because I'm going to, and just by way of introduction, too, I want to say, so we can get this out on the table, Travis met his wife online.
Yes.
Fabulous. So
I'm a happy man.
So, he is. And I know his wife, and she's great. So that's totally legit. Okay. Nathan is currently dating a girl whom he met online.
Yes.
And it's going well.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're currently dating 6 months this week.
Okay.
Actually.
Though we haven't gotten her perspective yet. Maybe she doesn't think it's going well, so we'll have to follow up with
that's
her.
That's true.
We'll see.
That's
no,
true.
I'm just
it's
teasing.
One-sided.
Nathan is fantastic. We love him. Okay, so I'm sure it's going well.
She's listening right now.
She's listening. She better be. And then we girls have kind of had a mixed bag. We've all been online. Jenny, Martha, and I tried a number of the different sites. We're currently single, so... whatever.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
Yeah. That is true.
Today it changes.
Single-handedly take
really?
This on.
Yes.
Okay. That's good. It's our day, ladies. It's our day. Okay. So here's the question I want to ask to the table, to those of us who have done this. All of you know that you will get mixed reviews from people, even now, as you talk about online dating. And some people will tell you, oh, you know, well, that's something I don't really want to try that, or only at XYZ point will I ever do online dating. So there's always been this little bit of a stigma with it. I think that's lessening tons now. But what was the determining factor that made you decide to finally go online? What was the tipping point?
Well, I guess it's kind of tricky. I mean, I go to the biggest church in town, have never really had a date from the biggest church in town, so I thought I would go out into the big, wide internet. Mm-hmm. So that's why.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I was kind of the same way. Even though you're around a lot of people, you still feel small. I mean, you hear the phrase about living in the city and you feel alone, even though there's someone right through the wall in the next apartment. So that was a big part for me. Another part for me was that I moved states. So I literally came 3 states west for my home state. So I didn't know anyone, much less who I could date. So I thought it would be a good path to take.
For me, it came up after not being like super successful in relationships and then finding myself in a small town. And my brother looked at me and said, "Listen, dude, you're not going to find a girl in this city. You need to broaden your horizons." And I was like, all right, well, let's, I guess we'll give it a chance. So it was really my brother who said, all right, I'm going to pay for you to do this.
Oh, that was nice. Look at how successful that was.
He stepped up.
It's like a birthday gift.
Yeah. And so, it was a nice thing. Although he said he was going to pay. He said, well, why don't we use your credit card first? Oh. And still to this day, he hasn't quite paid, but he said that he was going to.
Yeah.
If you're listening, brother, this one's for you.
Nice. Okay, and I have shared throughout the show, I think, or maybe occasionally, that my story, Martha's tongue-in-cheek comment, was actually mine. It was a group of girlfriends that got together, and we were like, okay, we're all going to do this together. And I was kind of like, oh my goodness, whatever, you know, never had tried it. But I figured I would support everyone else. And so did it for a good solid year, a number of sites simultaneously. Jenny, I think, was in on that experience with me and emerged from the year exhausted. And it took, I think, now 6 years until I finally waded into it again a little bit. So so very interesting experiences for sure. So let's move directly into the experience itself, the online experience. When you ventured online for the first time, or just your experience collectively, your experience as a whole, what was that like? Was it what you expected? What did you see kind of come from it? What did you expect to go online and within a week you would be dating someone seriously? I mean, what honestly were your expectations? Okay, Jenny.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was really all.
Okay.
Yes. I expected I'd be dating right away. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're here 10 years later from online dating, and it's still a lot of work, mm-hmm. which is not bad, but it's the reality.
Yeah. Well, just crafting a profile is a lot of work.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, especially.
And trying to sell yourself and talk about how great you are and all that. Although that has become easier because maybe I've become greater.
You're like your own PR person.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, you created a profile.
But at first it was really, really hard.
Yeah.
It was very hard.
I didn't mean to interrupt on you there. You were talking about constructing a profile. I say creating a profile, especially for guys, for me, I feel like it weeds out those who are serious. If you're not serious, you're not going to go through that hour-long profile. And it was a lot of flowery language, too. I just wanted to get to the nuts and bolts of it. And by the time I was done with it, I didn't even want to search anymore. But I did run a search, but you can't really run a search. It's a different format than the others. So my expectation going in was things would kick off right away, kind of like what Jenny said. And they didn't. You have to cultivate things slowly. But I also think that depends on the service type and what the format is.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, I think in getting to the profile situation, and Sam, maybe you have some insight into this. My frustration with that has been, and I can only speak on behalf of the ladies. Guys, you'll have to tell me what you think. But I go onto profiles, and I can't tell you how many. I mean, it is very difficult for me to find a guy's profile that stands out. Most guys that I see when I read their profile, their summation of themselves generally involves skiing or snowboarding, beer, their dog, and hunting or fishing.
Oh,
like, that is it. I mean, there is no, you know, any distinguishers
America.
As far
always America.
For the Americans, anyway. But so it's very, you know, it's just kind of like my eyes kind of glaze over after a while. And I'm like, what really goes into crafting a good profile and really allowing people to understand who you are without getting too creepy? Because you don't want to be, you know, so anyway, then I, you know, had a mental breakdown. I mean, you don't want to get into too much info either, because that kind of flags you as a creepster. So I don't know. Sam, who are these people that are coming through your halls? How do you...
Well, I'd step back and I'd say, as unromantic as it sounds, looking for somebody in a romantic sense is very much like sales or a resume, like a job search. And people, they go, but that sounds so icky. But in many ways, it's all about you putting your best foot forward, because when you are unemployed, which unfortunately in this day and age, many people are, if you just stay at home in your apartment praying, dear God, please get me a job, but you don't actually produce any resumes, you don't make your resume differentiated from other people, you don't go out of your way to seek out a potential employers, you don't take that first initiative, then why would anybody even know you exist, number one? And secondly, if you don't portray yourself very well, like you're talking about these guys where they all after a while sound like the same, then how are you going to differentiate yourself? Because at its core, again, as unromantic as it sounds, it is kind of a competition. Because while the internet is the great leveler in that it allows everybody to play, at the same time, everybody's playing now. So if you want to stand out above the masses, you have to do something that's unique. Otherwise, because the technology as it is right now, it's pretty much static. You have a photo or several photos. You might have a voice thing. You might have a written section of your profile, and that's it. And then basically you going out and initiating, unless it's like an eHarmony service where they do it for you. But pretty much like Nathan's saying, all the services are self-directed like ours is. So you have to take the initiative. You have to step out. And for our lady members, it's harder, particularly the more conservative their background. They feel like the man's got to make the first move. And I agree. The man does. That's my personal belief. That doesn't mean that you don't initiate a conversation, because you're not asking the guy to marry you the first time you write to him. You're basically saying, I notice in your profile that you've been to Paraguay. Why would a guy go to Paraguay in the middle of South America? Or something like that to lead off, mm-hmm. and then let him talk about himself. Because ladies, men love to talk about themselves, as I'm sure mm-hmm. a lot of you know. Sometimes we don't know when to shut up. But we do. So ask him what he's interested in. And then let it go. But for goodness sake, don't be a wallflower because it's tough. And the rejection factor is high, because even the world's best sales guy is getting rejected 3 out of every 4 times. Or maybe it's, I look at the best baseball hitter. What's a good batting average? Mm-hmm. You're never going to connect every time. And so you have to prepare yourself for best foot forward, differentiating yourself, and don't be a wallflower. Get out there and get active, because if you're not, somebody else will.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are some of the best things that you guys have seen on profiles? Like things that you felt really stood out? What works for you?
I like it when people get into detail about what their interests are. They don't just say, I like reading. They say, the last book I read was The Great Gatsby or mm-hmm. something, because that gives you an idea of what type of novel they're into and just where their interests lie. Because a lot of times they'll give you a really basic umbrella thing that anybody can say. Like,
flip-flops,
I love movies.
Coca-Cola, and sunglasses.
Yeah, I love the movies.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's what if you talk about the guys looking bland, the girls can look just as bland. I was matched on a certain site, I'll leave nameless, with 383 women. Mm-hmm. I can tell you a pretty strong trend of what makes up a woman today. Mm-hmm. And it was, I love my dog, I love flip-flops, I love Coca-Cola and the beach.
That would be Diet Coke, not Coke.
I'm sorry, Diet Coke, yes. Yeah.
And the beach.
But yeah, it totally was. When you start seeing certain details emerge, and, oh, I love reading, but yeah, what is that?
Yeah.
What is that book or some of your favorite movies? You know, if a girl was into sci-fi, I wasn't into them. But it let me know. And then, because eventually, I think, Sam, you can speak to this, is the online process, it is a leveling field, but at the same token, it can become very overwhelming when you have all of these different potential relationships that you're trying to manage. You almost have to figure out how you're going to weed through, almost like an employer with a resume. You've got to start setting some standards because it's going to become more and more difficult to manage that. And that's for me, when I was faced with that, that's where I put God in the mix. And, well, I put in the whole thing, but just saying, God, I'm going to close people out and I'm just going to pray that you help me not to close out the wrong person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, what do you think, good. Sam?
No, I think when we talk about God, I think sometimes we're focused on, I want to do this and I want to find someone who's matched here, and we forget about the divine matchmaker, which is the Lord himself who created all of us. And if we truly believe God is with us, then we can't go off charging all on our own as if, no, God, I'm in the driver's seat, or you sit in the passenger, or maybe sit in the back. If we want to do it properly, we should be having him in the driving seat or guiding us where we want to go. Because at the end of the day, I personally believe that only about 1% or less of us have the gift of Paul, meaning the gift of singleness, and that in an ideal scenario, all of us want to be married someday, because that's the way the Lord designed us. I believe it's the second most important decision you're going to make on this earth after a decision for Christ is who you'll spend your life with. And so we have to recognize that's a God-given desire, but we also have to recognize that God is with us and God wants to help us, but we have to follow his will. And I've learned in my own life that not just with dating, but just in general, oftentimes when he closes a door, then that doesn't mean that he doesn't open a window. And sometimes I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, I'm going to go down this path. And if it's not the path you want me to go on, then put something to stop it or block it. But don't be willful where, Lord, I know what I want. And this person is, I'm thinking of the example of Samuel, the prophet Samuel, after whom I'm named in the Bible, and where Jesse's sons are being brought before him. And he looks from the eldest and he's like, this guy's the guy that God wants to be the king to succeed Saul. And then he goes through them all. And the Lord's like, God looks on the heart, whereas man looks on the outside. And ultimately it becomes David, who's the shepherd, who's not even there. And he's this young kid. And he's the one who succeeds Saul, none of the handsome outgoing ones. So I think sometimes we get caught up ourselves with looking at what we want mm-hmm. rather than what our maker wants, because ultimately what God wants is the best for us.
Yeah, that's a good point, because getting back to what we look for that we like, I base it, I give precedence to the red flags that I see versus the things I don't. I just want to know she's normal and she's not spilling her emotional guts out on this page, or she doesn't have a screen name that says like Lonely in Lubbock or something.
Maybe because you should read my profile and let me know if there are any red flags in there.
If your profile is...
He'll comb it for you, Jenny.
If your profile is Lonely in Lubbock or... Lovesick 1280, then...
That's totally mine.
I'm probably not going to look. Or if it's like Too Cute for You, I mean, that's immature. Sure. Or then you have the unoriginal ones like Sweet Caroline 8286, because you know the computer made that up for her because she tried to do Sweet Caroline.
I do have a computer generated one right
so
now.
So I even saw a screen name one time that said Ben Prego Twice was her screen name.
So that's maybe not. She was just putting it out there, just letting you know.
She's probably been burned.
Yeah.
You will see a mishmash of the freak shows online, which is a really sad thing.
Yeah. So I look through it and I say, what is she not doing that makes her more normal to me that we can have kind of a springboard to talk about? They also say to do a clever headline, you know, something that grabs attention, which is funny and ironic because then they'll tell you how to write a clever headline, which in itself defeats the purpose of being clever. Yeah. So I always thought that was funny. And I don't know.
It's just utilizing your resources.
Right. for ladies, though, like that, like the Too Cute for You, or no, I mean, that one's, I don't know, but the desperation, I think what I saw that was unattractive to me as a guy, as somebody looking through profiles, is a lady that looked almost too desperate. Like if you looked really desperate, all of a sudden it was like, I don't want to go there because if I write her, she's probably going to have this already imaginary relationship in her head that I can never live up to because I'm just testing this as a guy myself. I don't know if I'm going... like from my perspective, when I jumped online dating, I was scared. I didn't know. I was like, God, is this something you really want me to do? Should I even do this? And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to test the waters. And even on my profile, I said, look, I don't know if I want something serious. Well, I mean, I do, but I don't know if this is going to be the venue. So let's don't like overcommit too early. I recognize I went out on like 10 dates with different gals, that a lot of gals, just because we talked, we're already planning our wedding day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's kind of that desperation, like I haven't dated for so long or I want to date somebody. Then all of a sudden you type them and they're like, well, you know, you feel like their whole life story. And then you feel like this weird pressure, even though I've never met the person face to face. Like I'm already figuring out how to escape this relationship that's never begun.
Yeah. Well, I did have one date from a match that did say to me after our first date, where are we taking our relationship from here? I was a little bit like, oh, really? I didn't know that we were that far.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes that facade of skipping over a few natural steps in dating kind of happens sometimes in online dating. So you have to tone it. You like have to slow yourself down almost, I think, because it has a natural speediness to it.
And I think people psychologically, they can look at your profile and feel like they know you better.
Yeah.
And they've already hit all these bullet points of what they would ask in a normal conversation. So when you go on a date one, you're really on date four in their mind because they're like, oh, I already know the last three books you read. Oh, I know this about you and that about you and that your mother lives in this state and your parents are divorced and all this stuff. So we're already pretty much this couple. So that's kind of off-putting too. I can see how people can fall into that trap.
So Sam, I don't know what you think, but I came up with my method when I was doing online. I was like, you know what? This is crazy. I can't manage all these like weird relationships that might be there, might not be. So I had to turn online dating old school, where some people might disagree with this, but if I felt like there was a genuine connect, and I was kind of picky, I would, you know, we'd go through, you know, some of the online talking points back and forth. I'd say, look, why don't we grab a bite to eat? I was single. I could have spent my money on a lot of stuff, but I want to be intentional. I'll buy dinner, just understand low expectations.
Mm-hmm. Did you say that? Low expectations?
And you also, need to clarify too, that you also set geographic parameters.
I did. I was, because I was like, I'm not going to travel all over the world trying to pursue something. That was my thing. So I said within, you know, a certain, you know, to 400 mile radius. And then I'd set up a date or a meeting. And we would
call it a date.
I call it an extended courtship. No, just kidding. Anyway, so yeah, and I just go and we'd meet and we'd have a conversation. But then instead of wasting all this time online, and plus the clock's ticking on a lot of the online sites too, where every month you gotta cough off money. I was like, let's visit, let's talk, and then, and if it doesn't work, we'll know it right then and there, because there is a difference sometimes between meeting somebody online and meeting somebody face to face. I mean, does that seem like a fair assessment?
Yes. In fact, the reason that our website is called ChristianCafe.com and not something else was when we were first coming up with a concept, I thought, where would you want to meet someone in the flesh for real that is safe and public, you know, for more for the woman's peace of mind, and that's non-committal for what you're talking about, let's just have coffee. And then depending on how that goes, you can then proceed. Because there's a real double-edged sword in online dating. The upside is that you can be yourself completely with complete strangers, and you can get to know them in a way that you could never get to know them in person, not just because you don't have time after the church service having, you know, cookies and coffee where there's not enough time truly, but also you get to know them where you don't have that sort of chemistry, physical stuff playing havoc, because it can do that in person. So you can really get to know somebody sort of mind to mind. But the downside is that you then have this expectation, like you're talking about, Nathan, where you really know somebody, but yet you don't really know them because you haven't met them. So my advice is that whenever it's possible, meet someone as early on in your correspondence, not too early, like at least get to know them, that you have something in common, so that you can then decide. Because in my own personal journey doing this, the reason I got involved in the late 90s was I was unemployed, had a lot of time on my hands, was on these services, drove to Dallas, Texas once from Toronto, Canada, only to find instantly, it's not, we both knew right away, and I'm committed. We were staying, she was a student in Seattle, her parents were in Dallas, and we were staying, she had a huge house, and we were staying with her parents, and it was, I mean, obvious, but we made the best of it. So sometimes it doesn't work. So the different women that I actually met both locally in the Toronto area and all throughout the US, it didn't work for a variety of reasons, but none of them had anything to do with how we'd met. But it was important for both of us to meet, some of whom, incidentally, I'm still in touch with. They've gotten married, had kids, you know, we share, et cetera. But we just weren't made for each other. So it's early on, it's a good way to do it. And also, if you start with a coffee date, there is no commitment involved. And if you get those red flags, like Nathan, you're talking about, to me, a red flag is something like, there's something not right here. Like, is the person being who they really are? Are they really letting loose? Are there issues beyond just a crazy username, like pregnant twice or whatever it was? But to me, and I personally, as you can tell, I did not limit myself geographically because I just had the resources and the time on my hands to go out and drive all over the place. And I know just based on our own success on our own website, there's been so many success stories from people who have met who haven't been in the same geographic area. So we tell people, go with somebody that you feel the most compatible with and let the distance work itself out, even though it may sound impractical, because would you swim an ocean for your soulmate? Well, okay, romantically speaking, we all go, yes, I would. Okay, then don't limit yourself. And I keep coming back to this, trust God. Because if God is someone for you in Australia, he probably doesn't. He probably has someone for you, in this case, right in Colorado. Or maybe he's got someone in a state next door. We don't know his will. But if he does have someone, and he does have someone on, say, ChristianCafe.com, then let him kind of go, and you just sort of follow his lead. Even though that can be frustrating. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord is sometimes doesn't answer the way we want. And I don't mean like verbally. Sometimes you pray and pray and pray, and there's silence.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Sam, answer this on behalf of your site. And I know a lot of people ask, how many of these profiles online really are legit? What do you guys do to make sure that the spammers and the people who are just like on indefinitely, but they never even check their profile, or the people that just set up a profile but never use it? I know I've had frustrations, you know, from people in the past where they feel like some of the sites, it's just like, who here is really real? How can we ensure that that's the case?
Okay, well, in terms of longevity, one of the things that we did early on when we started, I didn't like being on these sites, secular and Christian, back in the late 90s, where it's like a ghost town. I'm writing mail, and I'm like, is she reading my mail? Is she still on the site? How do I know? So we just felt like if you're not using your profile, we'll give you several months. And we'll send you notifications that you've got mail. And if you run out of time, you need to come back and pay a membership to support the service. But once you reach 120-day mark, our system will automatically archive you. So it's just an automatic process unless you take action otherwise. And you can get out of the archives easily enough, but we pull you off. So you're still on the system in our database, but you're not visible or searchable by any other member, and you won't get any messages from other people. Because we thought it's not fair that someone beyond that period, and we thought that's a bit long, but it's long enough that if someone's on vacation or they're taking a break or whatever, we can do it. In terms of how do we know who somebody is that they say they are, ultimately we don't. How do you know the person after church cooking coffees is who they say they are because they look presentable? You don't know either. So sometimes I think people, here's another analogy, credit cards. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people will go, I don't want to use my credit card online because, you know, stuff could get stolen and I don't know, and I hear these horror stories. And then my response to that is it's about a million times safer. When you go to a restaurant and you give your card to the waiter at the end of the meal, what do they do with your credit card? Are they going back and running it through a duplicate machine and then giving it back to you, and the next thing you've got to charge from Amazon.com? Well, you're that much safer online. And our site, we designed it specifically with women in mind, because anecdotally, I surveyed all my women friends at the time and said, what would make you want to go online and reveal who you are, but still feel like you're safe and anonymous? So they said things like, I don't want my email to be shown. I don't want my last name. I don't want my first name if I don't have to. I'd like a username if I can pick one. Mm-hmm. I don't want even my city listed within my state. So you can hide all that kind of stuff and be who you are, who you want to be, as much as you feel comfortable. And then as you get to know somebody, reveal more about yourself. We also have all sorts of systems running in the background that you never see that stop the scammers, particularly the whole West African, I got 10 million bucks and I need you to help me get it out type stuff. Mm-hmm. We have all sorts of stuff which I can't reveal publicly because I don't want them to know how it works. But basically, these guys are zapped in real time. And we also have a robust network of volunteers on our website who police it, because they want a clean experience. Being Christian, in some senses, we are way safer than being on a secular service. At the same time, some of our members tend to be a bit more gullible because they're more trusting. Because I wouldn't lie to you, so why would somebody lie to me type mentality? So we have volunteers who say, I want to be part of this, and we want to make them a part of it, because they want it to be a site for them that's kind of controlled and run by them to that extent. So we give people the power to, not just to report members, but also to zap them. People that we have gotten to know and to trust, with, and, you know, not just chat moderators, but also working in the background. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, can you have 100% assurance of anything? No. But can you have a realistic assurance that the person you're speaking with is probably who they say they are? You can have a pretty good sense, especially when that first phone call happens. Because how are you going to interact beyond just writing back and forth? Typically, it's going to be a phone call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
If it's a 12-year-old boy pretending that he's a 32-year-old woman and the phone rings, and then it's, I mean, was he going to pretend he's a 32-year-old? I mean, God, the gig is up.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I say, you know, eventually that, you know, all the people that throw up red flags about online dating, I'm like, look, eventually you have to take the relationship into real time and real space. Yeah. So what difference does it make whether or not you exchanged a few emails on the front end? Eventually it becomes real time, real people, real locations, and it has to move on from there. What's concerning is when it doesn't, and when people are just indefinitely pen pals and they're on sites for just years and you can't get someone to move it along. And you see, I mean, I know people who easily will have told me, you know, that they've been on years and years and years and they just, you know, well, I just don't know. And I did meet someone, but then blah, 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 and whatever, which is kind of why, you know, we're gonna wrap up here. But I just want to throw out kind of this question to everyone, and that is crafting. Let's just craft elements then of an ideal online experience. So we talked a little bit about the profile, you know, in fact, I was going to say quickly, one of the ones I read just, I think this week, from a guy, he started out and he said, I'm from Florida and I grew up, blah, blah, blah. And I have my degree in this and I love staying healthy and I like outdoor activities and all this kind of stuff and kind of some of the things I talked about. And then he said, but let me tell you a little bit about myself. And then he continued in the
stream. First. But
so
first, about me.
I was like, whoa, okay. So I don't even know if I need a first date with this guy because I already know everything, you know, that I need to know about him. But anyway, but I want to talk about, you know, we talked a little bit about profiles. I want to talk about how long do you think you should banter back and forth before you meet in person? What do you think, you know, ideally you should do for a first date? What, you know, what kind of, like Travis illustrated, he went out with 10 women and he was like, boom, you know, and he had this little timeline and his little checklist.
You got to be intentional, y'all.
Okay.
I mean, because it's no different. Like, it is very, it's not any different than meeting somebody face-to-face other than it's a lot of, I mean, well, it is right. And it isn't, but it's, eventually you still have to be intentional.
Yes, you do have to be intentional.
It opens
but
up your world.
It's different.
It does. I mean, it opens up your world. I wouldn't have probably went out with 10 different gals in like a 3-month span.
Wow, you had a good timeline.
Yeah. Well, I think it's easier for guys, though. Let's be honest. Guys, get out there. I mean, do it because I would venture to say, Sam, that the audience is disproportionately women. So, ladies, it is a challenge, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen. Mm-hmm. So
that is kind of a good question.
Yeah, well,
no, I think men need to take the leadership and need to step up to the plate and need to ask women out more often. Just because you ask a woman out does not mean you're proposing marriage. Mm-hmm.
That is true.
Keep your options open. If somebody you're clearly not interested in, then I also think it's not right of you to ask somebody out just because you're worried that she might feel rejected otherwise. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's anything wrong with asking somebody out for a cup of coffee, even for the company, provided that you're not misleading in any way, but I do think that the men need to step up more. By the same token, I think the women can't remain wallflowers, as conservative as some members' beliefs might be. Again, that doesn't mean that you have to ask the guy out on a date. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying you need to go out, find something interesting about the guy, and let him talk, like we've talked about. Some guys will just talk and talk and talk, like myself sometimes, and need to learn how to be quiet. But if you do that, then let the guy, because I'm thinking of women that I dated in my past where it'd be, man, this woman's, I worked at a university library years ago, and I'm like, man, this woman's here all the time, but I didn't clue in for about 2 weeks because she's making herself available constantly until one day, hey, you would like to get a coffee? And yeah, okay, sure, she says. Well, the whole thing is kind of staged in a way, but she didn't ask me because she didn't believe it was her role, but mm-hmm. she made sure that she was around places that I went to. Mm-hmm. So to me, both sides need to sort of step up in different ways, but I think the men especially need to step up and ask. Yeah. There's no harm in asking.
Do you think it's okay, though, guys, is there a stigma out there for guys to jump on to online dating? I mean, with Christian Cafe, is there 3-7 ratio for every 3 guys or 7 girls? Or is it a pretty good 50-50 mix?
Across the board, all age ranges, it's probably about 55-45, maybe even 60-40. I think the older you get, that tends to be a greater percentage of women. But generally,
Dadgum.
Yeah, it's just,
But
that being said, again, I come back to my sort of marketing, sales, or jobless analogy. If that's the case for our women members, then you need to step up to the plate in your own way, how you feel comfortable, or maybe get out of your comfort zone, because some guys are not going to ask the way you'd like them to ask, and there's ways to get around that to let them ask you when they're ready. And ultimately, if they still don't do it, it's like that movie, he's just not into you. Was that the name of the movie?
Yes.
Sometimes you just have to realize he's just not into you, and that's nothing personal. Move on. As there's another website, there's more fish in the sea, right? Or something right. along those lines.
I think the ideal scenario, talking about my current lady and I, the ideal scenario, what I appreciated about her was she responded in a timely manner. Mm-hmm. I didn't email her 1 week and then the third week get a response back from her. All the while I'm paying a membership fee, she was the next day. It was timely. It was short. It was responsive to all my questions. Mm-hmm. So that'd be the ideal thing to do. When you go out on a date, I had a couple before her, I'd say 3 or 4 girls, and I knew within 10 minutes I didn't want to see them again. And it sounds blunt, it sounds callous, but I just knew.
You actually went out with them?
Uh-huh.
I knew that, okay.
Mm-hmm. I knew I didn't want to see them a second time. I knew within 10 minutes I wanted to see her again. I didn't know she was my wife and all these fireworks were going, but I knew I wanted to see her again. Mm-hmm. How long
did you talk to her online before you met in person?
1 week.
Oh, wow.
One week here, too.
Let's move it on. 2 days, be honest, before you contacted her again.
Well, no, it was 1 week. The process of, okay, like, you know, seeing my wife on, I mean, I met my wife online. I saw her profile and it was bad. I mean, I wouldn't recommend this, but, you know, I saw her and I knew she was dangerous. And so I let her sit for a month, which, guys, don't.
That's vague.
Yeah,
why,
don't.
Why was she dangerous?
I knew that I could potentially like her. So don't do this. I let her sit in my box or whatever for about a month. And then, unfortunately, she didn't, like, get rid of me or something. But then I, you know, we emailed and it was very quick. Back and forth, we emailed and we moved. And then I said, hey, let's get together for a bite to eat. We had a bite to eat. And then I was, like, going, wow.
Did you talk to her on the phone?
We mildly talked on the phone. I didn't set up a phone thing either. Like, yeah. I said, here's my phone number. Let's meet at Chili's at 6:30, And you know, fortunately, she had, her mom was on my side. Her mom thought my profile was awesome. So I owe my mother a lot.
We need the mom screen. Yeah. No, okay, now a question for you again. Did she let you sit there for a month? She didn't contact you? Did she say, I was hoping you were going to contact me?
She did not, and she wanted to close me out several times, but her mom kept pulling things along, saying, oh, I think he's a good guy.
Yeah.
You know, and he just may be slow. So
good thing her mom's married, or you might have ended up with her.
She might have made a move. But what I was trying to say
is, down in for that.
Yeah. The intentionality of it, though, it was very quick. I met her, and then right away I was kind of going, you know what, I think there could be something here, but I was still holding things pretty close to my chest, and I told her, hey, you know, maybe we'll talk in a week. I couldn't hold out, and within 2 days, I'm texting her. So I did get the phone. I texted her, hey, date number two. Mm-hmm. And from then, you know, things just moved along. And so I know everybody's got different experiences, but most of the people that I know who have had success, they may have been on an online dating site for a long time. It may have been 1 year, 2 years, you know, whatever. But once things started moving, it seemed to move relatively quickly. I haven't seen too many that were like, well, I wrote an email and then a month later he responded and then I was just really excited for a month and then he went dark for a little while and then he emailed. I mean, if you're having that experience, I'm going, man, time's too precious.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings me to the question, because this was one that came up on Facebook from someone, and Sam, it's probably for you. A woman commented and said, I have been online forever. I've tried every site. I've met certain people. Nothing's worked out. Either they don't call me back, blah, blah, blah. I mean, this could be a standard dating scenario too, but it just happens to be online. Just for some reason, it's not working. She says, is online dating just not for me, or am I doing something wrong, or how do I determine where I even sit in this? Because she said, I think she said, I have spent thousands of dollars at this point on online dating.
Wow.
Well, I can sort of relate in a sense. It was pre-online dating. I dated a number of women, being sort of a guy, an outgoing guy. I asked if I was interested in somebody. I asked them out, whether it was just potential interest or I was really interested or they were pretty or we had something in common. And I found that over the years, I had a number of relationships, some longer term than others, and it would end up crashing in flames. And so I thought, there's a common denominator in all of this. And I remember reading this book by a secular writer, can't remember her name, but basically she said, you need to go back and analyze yourself and look at patterns that are happening in your life. And is there something in your background going back to childhood? It sounds pop psychology, but I think it works. And there's something that you need to work on. And so one of the exercises in this book was to take every person that you've dated and then say, if you were in a room and you were to look at each person and list their negative qualities, write them down. And if they were to get together with everyone else you've dated and list your negative qualities, what would they say about you? And when you look at this chart, you start looking across the rows, they're all the same things, which means that you're probably dating the same type of person over and over. And what is it in your past that is causing you to be attracted to somebody that really you're not compatible with? And maybe it's a physical connection that you find them attractive, but there's something about them that's dangerous that really you shouldn't be involved in. Or is there some other issue with your own life where there's a feeling of I'm not worthy or I'm not good enough, etc. And I knew in my own life, when I look back on that, there were common denominators. And so I eventually just said, Lord, I give up. I can't do this on my own. And I've been trying to do it on my own. And it's not like the Lord didn't have some of these women to date. I think he did, to teach both of us lessons. But at the end of the day, I had to get myself right, because a marriage between a man and a woman is not two halves making a whole. It's two whole people joining together. So you're both bringing 100%, not 50. And if you're not content as a person in singleness, I don't mean being happy being single, because I think we're all meant to be with somebody. But I mean, if you're not a happy person, someone else is not going to make you happy. Only you working with the Lord can achieve that. And until you are whole as an individual, I don't think you're ever going to be whole with somebody else. And that being said, a whole person, people will say, well, I'd love to date this supermodel type person. And it's like, yeah, but that model wouldn't date you. Mm-hmm. If I could date Miss Perfect, but Miss Perfect would date Mr. Perfect. Imperfect me dates imperfect somebody else. And are there a lot of issues that I got together in my own life? Yes. Are there lifelong issues that I need to work on just because of
of my makeup and sinful nature? Yes, my wife will tell you that. There's lots of things that life's a bed of roses full of thorns, and the trick is not to try to cut the thorns out, it's to live with the thorns. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's all about getting yourself whole before you're ready to go out and work with somebody else who's also whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need to, like, if you're listening on the podcast right now, go ahead and rewind a little bit and listen to what Sam just said again, because there's a lot of good nuggets
Hear that a second time, because that's such a good point about two holes. And the one thing that I really appreciate about my girlfriend, and this will score me some points, is she was a whole person. And I always felt from day one, hour one, that I was a part of her life because she chose that. She allowed me into her life. And whether you meet online, it goes back to how you meet, doesn't matter. That person has to allow you into their life because you enrich it in some way, not because you become this pedestal that you're standing on for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and definitely a good time to say, go to boundless.org and Google some of our articles on this topic, everything from I'm just not attracted to her, brother, you're like a six, man enough to date a real woman. We just posted that one up there. So a lot of great resources there as well. So,
and I want to say this too, while you're taking that moment, mm-hmm. go to the blog and comment on this podcast. We'd love to hear from you what it is that you're feeling about online dating, what you've seen, and if we can come up with some better podcasts in the future to help really understand what it is that you guys are all going through out there, and maybe we can figure out some ways to help. Have good guys like Sam come back.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's true. You know, looking around the table, not that I'm saying all of you are just average, and that's but we're all just normal people, you know? I mean, and it's like we're not putting ourselves up on any kind of pedestal to say that we have the answers or we know what's going on. I think it's very encouraging. Sam didn't mention this, but he was 37 when he married Polly. So it's not like he's just some guy who, like, got married in college and is trying to tell us all what to do. He's been there. He's done that. He's walked through the trenches. So he knows what he's talking about. So thank you all so much for being part of this conversation. I think it's been encouraging, and I think it's been helpful. Great tips, all of you. Great to get inside the minds of the opposite sex. It's very helpful. Obviously, kudos to Travis for getting it done, and to Sam and Nathan walking the road, running the road right now. So that's good. We'll maybe have an update on him in the future, hopefully. So we'll track everyone. We're going to put little chips in everyone, dating chips. So thank you all so much.
Love the look on your face when you first see me. The way that you laugh at the silliest things. I love the way that you love so unselfishly. You bring out the best in everything. There's a million more. These are just a few of the many reasons I love you. But there's something about the way you smile.
I can see forever in your eyes.
Telling me that I'm yours and you're all mine.
The way you smile.
We're like two lovers in a sweet romance. You're a leading lady
and you're my man.
You can say I love you with just a glance. The way you smile.
Well, hey, everyone. For this week's culture segment, I am very privileged to be in Studio A here at Focus on the Family, with Drs. Les and Leslie Parrott. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Yeah, we're delighted.
Very fun to have you. I just basically dumped everything about Boundless on them in like 5 minutes, so they're probably just reeling and trying to figure out if they even want to talk to us. But no, they seem very gracious and willing to do so. So
hey, I get your e-newsletter, so I'm not okay. So
I'm the one who had the intensive. And I love it.
Oh, okay. Good. Yes, I know. Yeah, Leslie was in here with me previously, so she got an earful for sure. So, well, I'm glad you got the e-newsletter.
Yeah,
that's
I
fun.
Love it.
Then
yeah.
You get my musings about my various life happenings, yeah. Which are...
I can't tell you I read every word of it, right. But I get it, yes.
Well, could you please start going through it with a fine-tooth comb, Les? I would appreciate that.
Just in case you were going to quiz me.
Just meditate. Wanted, yeah. Exactly, yeah. So I'll make you feel bad. Yeah. You're like, whoa, could you please make it a priority every week? And then, you know, send me emails with right. comments about right. what right. you feel is wrong yeah. with my own life and why I'm still single. I would appreciate that. We could turn it into a personal counseling session.
I read that, and then I go to my Bible.
Lisa, yeah. let me tell you why you are still single, because it's very evident from what you write in your e-newsletter.
I got to get subscribed, man. I'm missing out.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's scintillating, Leslie. Yeah, let me tell you.
Your life.
You can learn some things off of that for sure. But most of you out there are familiar with the parrots, I'm sure, especially if you listen to any kind of Christian radio or you know, calling through the Christian bookstores, because they have written more than a dozen books, including most of you have probably heard of, maybe your parents or your siblings have purchased this one, The Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts, which was a gold medallion winner. But you guys have written a bunch of stuff. You are the founders of the Center for Relationship Development out at Seattle Pacific University. So my sister went there for a semester.
Oh, is that
I don't
right?
know what happened. She bailed. Well, she bailed after a semester and then married a farmer.
Wow. So that was a twist.
It was okay. It was a twist.
Did
yeah.
Did she take
I don't
any
know.
Classes from us?
She what?
Did she take any classes from us?
I don't
us?
Think so. I no. think it was before your time.
Okay.
So yeah, she married a farmer who's right on the border of North Dakota, and I don't know if she's been to Seattle since. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Has she been seen since? Has anybody heard from her?
Well, good question. Yeah, the town that they're near has like 122 people in it. So yeah, see, difficult to get out. You know, not a lot of transportation options for them. But so very, very exciting to have you two here, and especially because we are no strangers to talking about relationships here at Boundless. It is what makes many of our listeners very passionately engaged in what we have to talk about, because many are hoping for marriage and for relationship, and obviously trying to do that well and feeling like there aren't maybe a lot of great means of guidance out there. You know, and even within the local church, and we were talking about this a little bit beforehand. So you two are experts in marriage and have been for many years, not only from your own marriage relationship, but being, Leslie, you're a marriage and family therapist, and Les, a clinical psychologist, right?
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
So whatever in the world that brings to the table. My goodness. Okay.
Why
so,
do you smirk when
yeah,
you say
no,
that?
Exactly.
Good.
I was
good.
Beginning to have to defend my credentials. Although I have to say the 27 years of marriage that we've shared has probably taught us far more than any of the degree.
Getting down into the, yes. yeah, into the one another's business, as I like to say. So that's good. Well, I want to kick it off by just asking you two, because you know a little bit about who our audience is. And I think that so often we talk to singles about singleness, and then we'll often talk about dating, but a lot of times we don't talk about marriage when it comes to singles, because we don't want, you know, some people will say, well, we don't want to get people's hopes up, or we don't want to talk about too much about something that they don't have. But I'm like, well, seriously, most of us want to get there at some point, so can mm-hmm. we talk about it? But what would you say, you two say about... We hear a lot about specifically this idea of actively waiting, especially for women, and what it looks like to have a hope for marriage, but sometimes a hope that is deferred. And so whether you're male or female, but you're single, what would you say, being on the other side, being in marriage, are just a couple things that you, when you're talking to singles, tell them to prepare for? Or how can we be preparing for marriage, not even seeing it on the horizon?
You know, that's a great question, and one that we've given a ton of thought to, because years ago we started a course, actually two courses at Seattle Pacific University on relationships. One is just general healthy relationships, and we talk about everything from falling in love without losing your mind, how to have that, be smart about it, improve your love IQ.
Well, and how to survive a breakup, mm-hmm. you know, when you're dating, because yeah. mm-hmm. reality happens.
How to break up and stay in one piece. We talk about friendship in that class, and what do you do when friends fail you. We talk about the difference between friends of the heart and friends of the road. Talk about how your family of origin shapes every relationship you ever attempt to build.
Right. I mean, truly, the most powerful university of relationships we ever have is our family,
yeah.
you know.
Mm-hmm. So all the different realms, sexuality, relating to God, bridging the gender gap. And we love teaching this class. In fact, kind of an interesting story about it. We thought, you know, years ago, we teach these students on this campus everything in the world. Why not offer a class in relationships? And if you know much about academic settings, you can't just start teaching it. You got to get it approved by the provost and the dean and all that. And it was a big hurdle to get through that. Finally, we got the approval. They said we could teach it if we taught it on our own time schedule and without compensation and, you know,
it wouldn't bolster
things.
Anyone's GPA because it wasn't a rigorous course.
Pass-fail course, yeah, they said it needs to be rigorous. And we said, well, we'll confuse them if we can, you know. And, I remember we thought we might have, I don't know, a half dozen students sign up for this class. We ended up having over 250 students sign up for a Monday night class, pass-fail, not required for anybody's major. And that spoke volumes to us.
Well, yeah, because relationships are the heart of our lives. I mean, who isn't endlessly fascinated by that topic?
Mm-hmm. And that out of that, we started another class on marriage for single people. And this is a course, again, meets on Monday nights on our university campus. And same, it's still the biggest class on our campus. 250 students come into this thing. And we talk about the skills that you need for lifelong love. You don't have to be in a dating relationship. You might be engaged. Some students are engaged to be married in there.
But it's always a small minority. I mean, right. For the most part, these are just people who say, yeah, my vision for life includes marriage. And I'd like to be, you know, I love that. Actively waiting. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd like to be intentional. What can I do to become skilled at relationships in the meantime?
Yeah. So to answer your question, it begins with, you know, getting healthy yourself. You've heard this before. Your relationship can only be as healthy as the least healthy person in it. Mm-hmm. So that's the foundation of it all. And then, you know, you build on that with skills that are going to serve you well in finding the love of your life, as well as having a terrific relationship for the rest of your life. And those skills include everything, of course, from communication. We all know that. That's the lifeblood of any relationship.
To navigating conflict, which is closely related but unique, yeah. You know, mm-hmm. because really we know from research, this is one of the most significant skills to take into marriage. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know how to fight a good fight, not mm-hmm. a fight that hurts, but a fight that actually can really increase your closeness once mm-hmm. you move your way through it, that's powerful.
Yeah, we have a lecture on love in that class and just understand the essential ingredients of love. What do we know from research about the experience of not just falling in love, but maintaining love? So,
well, and understanding how differently we're hardwired to bring, you know, each gender brings their own needs into a marriage relationship. And sometimes that can be just so mysterious. So we kind of unpack a little
of
that mystery.
I got to say, that's probably the most exciting night of the semester, because we have all these other students that show up on that night that weren't signed up for the class, mm-hmm. but they know what's going to happen by reputation. And we divide the group up between men and women, and we spend, oh, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes in each gender group talking about what do you wish that other group knew about us? Mm-hmm. And we make a list, and then we come back together, and we mm-hmm. spend a good hour sharing our lists and talking about those. Fascinating to hear. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the things that come to mind. I mean, when you ask the question, I'm glad you did, because we've given it a lot of thought.
Yeah. Well, and I think that deep in our you know, language, we talk about how important it is not to try to complete yourself through the relationship, that the more whole you are, the more you've got to bring to someone and really enhance their life. And that increases your ability to have intimacy. So we work hard with students.
And that's probably worn out advice to you. I'm sure you've talked about it many times on this program. But I got to tell you, in situations, especially counseling situations where I'm working with singles that are brokenhearted because life isn't working out the way they wanted it to when it comes to their love life and so on, so many times you can come back to that situation. Well, we really got to work on you before we're talking about the skill aspects. We can do both at the same time, but don't neglect that idea of working on who you are.
Well, and we can no longer, it seems, come in with the assumption that singles will have had a lot of good role models. I mean, we're seeing that there's a lot of divorce coming out of this generation,
absolutely.
Their parents' generation, a lot of fatherlessness, so they really are floundering in the sense
right.
of where do I go from here? So what would you say from what you've heard, whether in the, you know, that's pretty fascinating, the session of breaking out by gender and stuff like that. What are some of the biggest misconceptions that you're seeing come from young adults today as far as who they need to be, what they need to know, what the other, what the opposite sex is thinking or whatever? What really is the cluelessness that you're seeing out there that needs to be righted a little bit by couples that have been there? Yeah,
well, the cluelessness factor. Yeah. And there is power because they do feel misunderstood. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the feeling, the emotion. You know, we unpack a lot of the physiology that really plays into some of that because our brains are hardwired so differently. For instance, in the capacity to listen well and mm-hmm. communicate, we approach that so differently.
Yeah, and we always think that the other gender is going to be kind of processing information just like we do, and of course it's not the case. You know, some research shows if you look at the aspect of the brain that joins the two hemispheres, the corpus callosum, that between, when you look at a man's brain and a woman's brain, they're so distinct in that area. And in fact, one researcher said, was it that woman's corpus callosum was like a...
It's like a super highway, you know, versus the man's, which is more like a little crooked country road.
Right.
You
know, which means that a woman has this capacity to process information on multiple levels.
Yeah, we don't compartmentalize. In fact, we are unable to compartmentalize. Mm-hmm. We're always, you know, we can be tied into two or three different conversations, whereas men do not have that capacity.
Yeah, and I always ask, you know, students, you know, you ever had this experience with your dad and he's watching TV and you're like 3 feet from him and you go, Dad? And he doesn't do anything. Dad? Dad? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, he's like so tuned in. And so that kind of information is helpful just in bridging not only the gender gap, but in getting you prepared for the kinds of things that you need when it comes to debunking, to taking the mythology out of some of this.
And I love it that you said that. That's a lot of what we do. We want to demythologize marriage. You know, we want them to understand how to walk into a relationship with realistic and healthy expectations.
Don't you think that the biggest myth is that this person is going to make me whole, this person is going to complete me?
Absolutely.
You know, that's mm-hmm. You know, we've all talked about the Jerry Maguire syndrome and all that, but it really is one that hangs on.
Well, I think that's a big one. Yeah, it does, because we're all drawn to people who have the strengths and skills and abilities that we're lacking, things that are unfinished in us. We are so drawn to people who have those fully formed, mm-hmm. you know, and it's that sense of magic that I'll get that and then I'll be whole.
I think there's another myth that says everything bad is going to disappear mm-hmm. when I find this, you know, love of my life.
Right.
And it doesn't work that way. And you know, that relationship was never meant to erase stuff from your past.
If you struggle with depression before you're married, chances are that will be a part of your story your whole life. But, you know, that, not to take away the sanctuary of sharing that with a friend, mm-hmm. you know, in marriage, but it doesn't change your biology. It doesn't change your personality.
I think another huge myth is that we expect the same things from the relationship, you know, when it comes to marriage and lifelong love, that the picture I have in my mind's eye of how that's going to play out is the same one you have. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. We all come into it with different expectations.
Yeah. I like the, you know, I think there's a happy medium somewhere between feeling like marriage is just, you sign up for it and the whole, you know, we've all heard love is a choice and you just soldier through and make it happen. And every day you have to just choose to love that person. So that kind of, well, I mean, who wants to sign up for that? That sounds a little bit, you know.
You're not chomping at the bit for that.
Exactly. So there's kind of that extreme, or the other extreme of, provided I just pick that right person, then this is going to be easy. And so, mm-hmm. and if it's not easy, then it means I picked the wrong person and either I better go find someone else or I better just, you know, weep before the Lord every day of my life for the rest of my experience. How do you help people achieve balance in that?
Yeah, you know, in that course that we've been talking about, the two courses, we have a book called Real Relationships. It has all kinds of self-tests, a workbook, and all kinds of things, and even an online little component that goes with it. But when it comes to selecting the right partner these days, you cannot talk about that without talking about online dating. And, you know, we've done lots of, we've been in this space for a long time.
We've been in this space for a long time. And I think it really shocked me, I guess maybe my age is a little revealed here, but that more people meet online now than meet at church or the workplace. You know, there's something so different about the access to a connection.
And so the question is, well, you know, you pose, how do you, it's not just about becoming the right person. Ultimately, you have to choose the right person, but is that all there is? And the answer to that, of course, is no. I mean, but that's a huge part. It really is a huge part, being wise in making that critically important decision. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? And so we kind of liken the aspect, you know, we wrote this little book, .com Dating, about the process. And when I say little, it is little. It's just a little soft cover book for $6 or $7. And this little thing will kind of paint the picture of how valuable would it be to you if you could walk into a room with, let's say, 25 prospects that all were in the same age bracket for you,
That were open to relationship and available for that, mm-hmm. wanting
right.
that.
Mm-hmm. And lots of the things that you're looking for when you've kind of made your list of must-haves, your critical list of things that you're looking for. How important would it be, how valuable would it be to you to be able to walk into that room and spend 20 minutes talking with each person in there to discover, hey, do we have some chemistry here? Is there something? Well, in a sense, that's what this has, what online dating has allowed us to be able to do, if you find the right site. And so you're no longer just meandering through life hoping, you know, you're on this cosmic treasure hunt to find your soulmate. You can actually be so much more intentional about it than you could have ever been in the past because mm-hmm. of this tool. And so that's really what compelled us to put this little .com yeah. dating resource
Well, let's
together.
Talk. Let's talk for a couple minutes about that, because I definitely, you know, in looking at the book, you debunk a lot of myths related to online dating, which many people, I mean, I think really we're just in a season now where the stigma of online dating is lessening, where now it's mm-hmm. becoming much more acceptable as far as this is a viable option for meeting someone. And I always tell people, you know, it's a great way of getting your numbers up and just finding more people to meet. And eventually you have to take a relationship into real time and real
yeah,
space. So,
exactly.
you know, what's that about?
But it does increase your odds. I mean, you're
going to,
yeah, you don't just
want
to run. But
at the
around.
Same time, now yeah. I like what you guys say. You talk about, you have a whole section in the book about liars, losers, and freaks. And I think
yeah,
that when
it out there.
During my season of online dating, I think I met all of them. So I don't know
how
where that.
Blessed you are.
I know. So, but it was a ministry. It was a ministry, and I had the chance to witness to some of them. So
fantastic.
I want to know, because women's
money
frustrations.
Well spent.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I'm hoping I'll get a reimbursement when I get to heaven. Lord, could you please cash that back to me? Anyway, no. But so many women I hear talk about how they put together this profile and then they find these guys online who are self-described evangelicals, but either cannot articulate their faith or can't. There's just a lot of frustration. So
right.
what really, how do you cull through really to find in putting together good principles to find someone and know what you need to know on the front end?
You know, I love that question, because one of the great fears actually about online dating is, are we taking God out of this equation somehow? You know, mm-hmm. am I trying to take control of my desire for marriage and shutting God out, you know? And
right.
the answer is no. I mean, this is just a tool to be used, you know, and prayerful discernment and community are huge. So one of the things that we really feel strongly about is the quality of the site, because mm-hmm. sites are not equal, mm-hmm. and even Christian sites are not equal. You know, sites that may identify themselves as that way. And so in order to feel comfortable, like that you can really get at the heart of someone's faith, their, you know, their profound commitment to live that out versus, yeah, I'm Protestant mm-hmm. or something, mm-hmm. you know, you really have to choose a site that allows that and also that screens
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that gives them an opportunity to express that in more, you know, living color, as it were. I mean, you know, so it's not just you're checking a box, but you're describing what does that look like for me and how does that play out? Am I going to church once a week? Am I going to church once a month? You know, those kinds of kind of the indicators that give you a sense of, okay, I get how serious their faith is to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I love your question, because it is so easy, of course, to come off as something that you're not online, and that's the danger of it. That's why there are liars, losers, and freaks out there mm-hmm. online, and that's why you have to be careful.
Yeah. And what is the other problem I see, and of course, I have to speak as a woman because that's that is my experience, and all my girlfriends who I hear talking about this. Why is it that it's so easy to get emotionally entangled online? You know, I know a lot of women
yeah.
who meet someone online and within 2 or 3 days, they're talking to them for like 6 hours or IMing them, or then they get on the phone and all of a sudden they're like, oh my goodness, I'm totally going to marry this guy, even though he is, you know, 7 states away from me. I have not met him yet, but I know
right.
that he's the one God has for me. How do you help mitigate the crazy that can happen?
Love
with
that.
Online
sort of
dating?
That virtual intimacy
yeah.
that can happen.
Yeah,
yeah, because
just,
there's
so
a big
common.
Wish fulfillment that drives a lot of this. And
mm-hmm.
so you bring into that an opportunity for fantasy land, because you're not seeing this person yet and you're both playing a role there in whatever you're communicating online. Well, that's a pretty toxic combination of things to have exactly what you're talking about. And wow, that's where, you know, just as a psychologist, I got to say, put the brakes on. Be careful here. Not, you know, you're jumping to conclusions because you want something so badly. And this happens in all aspects of life. Putting a business deal together, this is going to be fantastic. Or hiring a new person at work, and they're just ideal. I don't know how they could be any better.
Well, you know, one thing I love about the online experience, first of all, let me just say, clearly, this is nothing more than an introduction. The whole point is move offline, mm-hmm. become connected in real life, mm-hmm. and not just in isolation, but in community. I mean, I really feel strongly that if you're connecting with someone, they need to be brought into your community so that you get the feedback of people who love you about what their experience is too.
Yeah.
So I would say that. But one thing I do love, and this is kind of the opposite extreme of what you described, but I see it happening as well. It's almost like an online experience can be a little bit of a balance beam, you know, like mm-hmm. between your head and your heart. Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds very unbalanced, that experience you described. But the truth is, when you meet someone face to face, what you can get swept up in is the attraction and the, you know, the kind of the euphoria of that without really growing to know the person. Mm-hmm. So in a way, the online site has the potential to balance your head and your heart. You're not swept off your feet by the physical attraction. So you have a chance to know the person. And I do love it that we've seen that function in many people's lives, you know, but you have to use it wisely.
You know, we're actually in the middle of a huge research project right now that involves more than 1,500 singles around the country looking at attitudes toward marriage. And we'll come back on your program when we kind of have this more kind of laid out and know more what we're talking about. But from the preliminaries, we can tell you that there are roughly five pathways that singles will kind of walk down with their attitudes on marriage. And one of those is exactly what you're talking about. It's this person that kind of lives in this fairy tale of, you know, happily ever after, and I'm just, you know, going to find this Prince Charming and or whoever online, and they can't keep themselves from experiencing what you're talking
about.
Would
you call them the romantic?
They're the romantic, yeah. We say they have the romantic heart, and that's cool. I mean, there's a lot of great stuff in that, but they need some caution flags. They need some people in their lives. They need some mentors that are going to, and some friends that are going to help them go, wait a second here, I know you're excited, but it's time to take a look at exactly what we know for sure here is going on, and don't jump to any conclusions yet.
Yeah.
Dating requires that, whether it's online or face-to-face. I mean, the whole enterprise is fraught with some ambiguity,
you know,
and takes a lot of maturity to wade your way through.
Sure. Well, there is so much more that we could talk about. We're out of time, but definitely want you to check out .com Dating, the book that we've just been talking about a little bit here, and also realrelationships.com, which is where you can get all the info on what Les and Leslie do, stay in touch with what's going to happen with this research project. You know, all of your resources, the many things that you guys have going on can all be found there. So I think it's always great just to get, like I said, on the front end of the interview, experts who, you know their field, who are talking to college students on a regular basis, obviously, and other singles as well, and just be able to pick your brains a little bit. So thank you both.
Hey, it's our privilege, and I just want to say an encouraging word to anybody that's been tuned into this broadcast out there. I know that sometimes you're struggling in this area, and hearing two experts come on that have been married for a long time, go, well, yeah, good for them. They already had it worked out. We just work with enough couples to, or enough individuals out there to know it is so often a matter of God's timing in your life, and I know you've heard that before, and it sounds hackneyed, but it is so true, and I just don't want anybody to feel particularly discouraged because, well, I just got to sit here and wait for somebody to show up at my door. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, you guys.
You bet.
But all I have is hope. God, I need to see your power fall like it did in the days of old. I know you're who you say you are, 'cause you've proven that to me. But this time seems impossible. Won't you help my unbelief? I need to see you move.
We are opening up this week's inbox, and I have Candace on the phone. Hey, Candace.
Hi, Lisa.
Always great to talk to you and catch up with you.
Likewise.
Very fun. Well, we have another question that we felt would be uniquely tailored for you to address, and it delves into the world of online dating as well as just relationship dysfunction and parental relationships. So
you're going to have to... My favorite convergence there.
You're going to have to help row us through these waters. So
okay,
here
I've
we
got
go.
My paddle.
Yeah. She says, a few years ago, I opened an account on a dating website. It was partially out of curiosity, but partially being desperate for male attention. I wasn't even really looking for a husband. Now that my standards of behavior and purity have risen drastically, I find that I've not been able to delete that profile, and I occasionally sign on just to see if by chance any qualifying male, someone who's godly and physically close to where I live, has sent me a message. During the time when I was sinfully pursuing male attention, my mother found out about this account and was very upset with me about it. She's absolutely anti-online dating. The issue I have now is that a qualifying male did send me a message. I replied, and we are now talking. But now I'm presented with the issue of, if my relationship with this man progresses, how do I tell my mother? Is it sin to date someone I met online when I know my mom would disapprove for that sole reason? I'm also embarrassed to tell people that we met online, but I know that lying would be a sin. Where do I go from here?
Oh, boy. Well, the short answer is no, it's not a sin to meet and date someone online. If it's true that the qualifier of he is godly is in the picture. And so I would start first by saying, okay, don't rush ahead and have this, you know, knock down, drag out with your mom about online dating until you know if this relationship has the potential. I'm working with limited information here, but let's say they met and they live, you know, one in New York and one in California, and they're emailing. I think it's probably too soon to tell mom, you know, to be ordering the tan dress for the wedding. And so it may not come to that. However, if you are older than 21, then you probably do need to have a conversation with your mom about this issue. If she's exerting an unnatural amount of control over your life, maybe the issue isn't online dating. Maybe it is having the fear of man, in this case, the fear of mom, and really letting her dictate your decisions as an adult that are not areas of sin, but of preference. And, you know, it is possible to go online and meet someone and not do it in a sinful way. So I think if she could differentiate between her original motives, which were impure, and her present state, which is not impure, but just the desire to marry well for God's glory, if that is in fact the case, have that conversation. You know, say, Mom, I'd like to share with you why when I was online before and the account that you saw and were, you know, obviously upset about, I'd like to talk to you about why that was wrong. And go ahead and confess the sin in your life about that. But then also share with her why you've changed. Talk about what the Lord is doing in your life and how you are striving for righteousness in your relationships. And, oh, by the way, I just want you to know that I have found that it is possible to be online and not be sinning. Mm-hmm. I think have the conversation, though, apart from the fact that you've met someone. Let's first start with the bigger issue, which is her sanctification, her growth in the faith, her desire to be righteous and, you know, godly in how she goes about meeting and dating someone. So that's step one.
Yeah.
And establishing some healthy boundaries with mom. If mom blows a gasket, say, Mom, I love you and I honor you as my mom. I just need to let you know that I disagree with you on this one issue, but that doesn't mean I don't love you. And, you know, I hope that we can continue to have a good relationship. I mean, there, Lisa, you of all people should know, right? There are areas of disagreement that you just have to live with your mother.
Right. Exactly.
Right? I mean,
that I do realize.
Am I speaking the truth to a friend here? I mean, come on now.
So I think at this point, my mom doesn't have like any boundaries in relation to me dating. She's just like, go out there and just get it done.
Right.
Now I have to rein her in. Yeah. It's like, no, seriously, Mom, I should not be good. Yeah. I think too, when in honoring her mom in this situation, I mean, maybe sit down and hear your mom out a little bit. And just, there are probably a lot of, you know, because of that generational thing, there's somewhat of a stigma, or has been, I think it's changing now, around online dating. And her mom probably is just saying, I don't want this story for you. I mean, she probably is not going to throw up all these objective considerations or arguments against online dating. It's more just a feeling. And I think for her to just help her mom understand that, you know, mom, really, this is happening a lot more. And it's right. a way to meet people. And eventually you have to move into a real relationship and it becomes real. You know, it's just kind of, you know, for her not to blow it out of proportion and think that her mom is just going to immediately try to circumvent this or steamroll her or whatever could be helpful too. So.
Yeah, and you know, if the guy doesn't live across the country, he lives down the street, and you do form a real relationship in the context of a church body, and you are growing relationally with the oversight and help of, you know, your pastor or, you know, a dear mentor couple, that sort of thing, and then you introduce your mom to this guy, and she thinks he's great, and then she says, "Where did you meet?" It's not going to be quite as much of a shock to her, or I don't know that her objections would be as tremendously huge. Mm-hmm. If at that point you say, "Oh, you know, the funniest thing, you know, we met on the internet."
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you could say we met over email. Maybe that's less of a stigma. Funniest thing, he had my email address, and one day he sent me a message. Obviously, you don't want to lie about where you're meeting people. That's never. Lying is always wrong.
Yeah.
But there are ways to talk about this with your mom that don't have to become a huge fight, and hopefully the relationship with her can be maintained and improved.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good thoughts, Candace, and good wisdom and advice for her. I think really looking, you know, at the heart issue behind the practicalities of it is good, because you do want to preserve a relationship with your mom or with your parent in a situation like this. But at the same time, realizing that you have to take a stand on the things that are, you know, non-negotiable, and then the things that are negotiable. Just know how to really message around that and realize that eventually you have to make your decision on that.
You do. And, you know, the one thing that I would caution this listener to is the possibility that she's using the issue with her mom as a smokescreen to justify what I think she suspects is not a good habit, and that is going back to old sinful patterns just to check and see if maybe a godly guy has shown up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That was the one red flag that I saw in her letter, is that, you know, I can't really delete the account. And every now and then, just, you know, I just have to go in and check. I'm curious. Well, is it not possible, even if you can't delete the account, can you go in and delete all of your bio information so that it's just blank fields that they're seeing, so they aren't really having a reason to click on your profile? I don't know. That would be a concern to me if this whole thing about her mom is really just a way to justify doing what she was convicted of not doing, you know, that she shouldn't be doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I would say, I mean, either be all in and do the online dating under some accountability, or just get rid of the profile altogether. I don't know. Well, good. Thank you so much, Candace.
You're welcome.
All of you out there, online daters and not, make sure you write to us, editor@boundless.org. Maybe you have an experience similar to this, whether, you know, the whole idea surrounding online dating and how that's played out for you, and whether or not you're struggling against maintaining that kind of consumeristic mentality towards it, or if you've really had to talk to people in your life about, you know, this being a possibility and what that looks like, whether parents or others. We do want to hear from you. So always love hearing from Candace and getting her wisdom and expertise on this. So that is it for this week's show. Please do continue catching up on the shows as we're heading out of the summer here. And, you know, it's sad thing. The days are getting shorter, but that's okay. We're going to deal with it.
We're moving into the best season of all, Lisa.
I know. Here we go. Candace is going to start talking about pumpkins and bonfires. That's okay. We'll let you talk about them next time as we head into September and October. Awesome. So, all right. That's it for this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show.
The Boundless Show is a production of Boundless.org. Focus on the family.